This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. No one. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And we can't ever, ever forget that. I don't care what someone may have done or is doing, we can't point an accusing finger. We're here to help them get it right again. I tell you, raise your hand if you've never gotten it wrong. Okay. Somebody had to help us get it right. And I'm grateful. The least I can do is reciprocate. There are folks that have tolerated, and I imagine they're still tolerating. Can't imagine why now, but they're still tolerating me. Okay. So the least I could do is tolerate everybody else. Amen. All right. Look at Mark 10. Because we've been talking about overcoming adversity, and we're going to continue. For how long until God tells me to stop? So we become handling adversity specialists. Okay. See, that's a title nobody really wants. Because to become an expert at handling stuff means that you're always going through stuff. But Jesus said in Mark 10, verses 28 to 31, this is out of the Message Bible, said, "Mark my words, no one," said, "I didn't leave anybody out," said, "no one who sacrifices houses, house, brother, sister, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles." No one likes to hear that part, but we have to hear it and understand it. But also in troubles, and then the bonus of eternal life. See, yes, there are great things that God has in store for us, but with those things, hand in hand, we're going to experience some tribulations, some persecutions. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have them many times over. And we need to understand that so that when they come, we stop falling to pieces. Too many times I've heard folks, really, I know in their heart they may have, in their emotion, they may have meant it, but what they said wasn't true. They said, "I had it better when I was a sinner." No, you didn't. You were on your way to hell. Okay. So, look. One of our pastor friends was, I think he was in Haiti. And they were concerned because there was this cult that had all this property and money and everything, and he was, a little bit perturbed about it. And the Lord said to him, "They don't have any demons to face. they're not having any opposition. So we're doing things God's way. There's going to be opposition. That doesn't mean you stop. It means you get tough and you get your faith built up and you keep going in spite of the opposition." And that's what we have to learn how to do. But Psalm 34 in the Amplified Bible says, "Many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers him Not some. All. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says many adversities come to the one who is righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And the voice says, hard times may well be the plight of the righteous. They may often seem overwhelmed. Anybody ever felt overwhelmed? Okay. It's okay. You didn't sin because you felt overwhelmed. Okay. It says, but the eternal rescues the righteous from what oppresses them. See, we have to get to the place where when we're in the midst of the stuff, we're looking for our Savior. Because we know he on the way. Most of the time, folks, he already there. He's already there. And so we have to understand that even though we're going to gain much from the Lord, we're going to have to deal with much from the enemy, but Jesus has already delivered us out of them all. Now, the symptoms that I've been walking through, you know, what kind of symptoms? I don't know. I guess they're respiratory in nature. Whatever they were, they are, they are. I hadn't had symptoms like this in at least 20 years. My wife will tell you, I'm one of those persons where she gets the sniffles and she's like, no, don't hug me. I'm like, nothing attached itself to me. No. And nothing would. And so I didn't catch these types of things. Okay. And so when it hit me, I was kind of surprised. You know? And because I was surprised, I didn't handle it the right way. So what did you do? I acted like nothing was wrong with me. That's exactly what he wanted. Because while I'm busy doing nothing, it's digging a stronghold. Okay. It's grabbing on to things it shouldn't have had access to. But I'm not used to this. I wasn't afraid of it, you know, or anything like that. I just wasn't used to it. And so it came. You know, was I angry about it? Yes. You know, was it some secret sin coming home to roost? No. You know, it wasn't. You know, it is possible I let my immune system get a little weak, you know, because you, Pastor Ed's been quoting it this from this book for years, you know, in the book Christ the Healer, one of the, I forget which one it is, Pastor Ed, where it says violating natural laws. And they're often we violate, I know I'm guilty of violating natural laws. I haven't been giving my body the amount of rest it needed. I haven't always given it the right food that it needed. And is it uncomfortable? Yeah, it's uncomfortable. You know, having like a 4 or 5 minute coughing spell is uncomfortable. You know, am I embarrassed about it? No. And it tried to make me embarrassed. What are you going to tell the people now? What are you going to do when you stand up there and cough in front of the people? I'm going to do this. Excuse me. I mean, that's... All right, where'd it go? No, but those are the things that the enemy will do to cause you to stop doing what you're supposed to be doing just because there's a symptom. Just because something's not quite right, he wants you to feel badly about it, and you have to say no. Even if you did something wrong, your attitude needs to be no. Because yes, I may have done something wrong, but I haven't read where Jesus said I have power over the devil unless I do something wrong. I haven't found that verse yet. And I'm not looking for it anymore. Okay? So we need to understand that just because there's a symptom that attacks your body doesn't make you any less of a Christian. It doesn't make you any less of a person. It doesn't damage your witness. What it's really, if we use it the right way, it's designed to strengthen. Yeah. our witness. I'm going to show you that before you leave in 1 Peter, where it says that. All that happened to me was that persecution came for the word's sake. And again, we need to expect it because we have been warned that it's going to happen. We've been warned. Tell your neighbor, say, you've been warned. Okay. See, my responsibility was to realize what happened and then allow my body to rest and recover so that I can continue to do the things that God has called me to do. That's my responsibility. Now, understand this. One of the things that I was able to do is remember everything that God has told me concerning me. Because when I'm in the fire, that's what I'm thinking about. But God said. That's what it was. You sneeze. Yeah, but God said. You cough. Thank you, Lord, my lungs are clear. Thank you that this is coming out of me and it's not staying in me. You know, I mean, those are the things that's the way we fight. That's the way we fight. We have to know while we're in the fire, we cannot lose sight of those promises. Listen to, I was perusing the book Through the Storm. It's really a great book. I'll probably read it. But I don't know why. I just like perusing books. No. Why don't you just read them? Like, I don't know. She'll sit down and read one. I'll peruse through six. Okay. But William Barclay, he quotes, says, endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. Yeah, we like that, right? Yeah. William Randolph Hearst said, you must keep your mind on the objective, not the obstacle. So that means I had to see myself doing this, not laying down, coughing, shivering because of a fever or anything like that. I had to see myself doing this and keep my mind on it. Winston Churchill said, you'll never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks. Listen to what Henry Ford said. And this is what I believe we allow happen to us. Obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off the goal. See, we give too much press to Google. We do. You'll have a symptom, you'll go there and you'll, I know, I used to do it. And you said, wow, I didn't know that. You give too much ink, too much time, you know, to what folks are saying about what you're going through instead of what God said concerning you. Because he already knew you were going to go through this thing. See, when are we going to understand that we belong to a God who knows every single thought we're ever going to have, pure or impure? He knows. He knows everything we're going to give into. He knows every single thing that's going to try and attack us. He knows. And he doesn't just know, he has the solution. And guess how we find out the solution? We ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? What do you want me to say about this? And then you make yourself say only what your father tells you to say. And next thing you know, you're out of the fire. And you're not even burned. Oh, there's one more. Call those things that be not as though they were. God said that. Okay. God said that. And so those are the things that we want to be saying when we're in the fire. Right? But there has to be something within us that kicks in when adversity shows up. And that's something, it'll also allow us to stay focused regardless of what it looks like. See, it won't matter, the intensity of the blaze won't matter, because once you're locked in, you're locked in. And it's no secret, that thing is called faith. That's all it is. See, my God, that's so simple. Yes, it is. You see, whether you're overcoming the fire properly or not, it's based on faith, either way. You're either believing what God said or believing what the fire's saying. You've put your faith in one of those. We're just strongly suggesting that you put your faith in what God says, because that will overcome anything that the fire can produce. But that faith has to be unshakable. The enemy is a master at special effects. Master at it. I've told him, I'm not going to go into it again, but I told you we won more basketball games than we should have because we intimidated the other folks. And by the time they realized they were better than us, the game was over. And they had second place trophies. We had championship trophies. So it's not about, it's really not about how good or how bad someone is. It's what you think about it. You can be the best around. If you don't know it, nobody will ever find out. You have to act like you are, because God said you are. See, the Bible says faith is the substance of what? What else is it? Okay, so if I stick a thermometer in my mouth and it reads 102.8, faith doesn't say, oh my God, you have a fever. Faith says, thank you, Father, that my body temperature is normal. That's what faith says. And then faith stays in bed and lets his body rest so he gets the manifestation of what he said. Faith doesn't say, you know, the thermometer says 108 or 102.8, but you say, oh, I believe I'm healed. So you get up, go outside, drive your car, and pass out and crash into a tree. And then say, God, what happened? I'll never forget this. This is a booklet that now Apostle Price wrote. He said, there is faith, foolishness, and presumption. Faith says, thank you, Father, that my lungs are clear. That's what faith says. Faith says, I'm not dizzy, I'm not weak, I'm strong in the Lord. It doesn't matter if I can't stand without holding myself up. That doesn't have anything to do with faith. If I have to stand, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of my might, his might. And, you know, I just slowly move or ease my, if I have to sit on the stairs and slide down, you sit on the stairs and you slide. Isn't that that's better than falling down? I mean, you're trying to prove something and you wind up breaking your neck. Okay. But hey, I operated in faith. No, you are foolish. But those are the things that I had to do in the midst of this fire. I had to allow my body to rest without any guilt. I couldn't lay down. I'm like, I'm putting all this stuff on Pastor Ed. I need to be in the office. There are things we need to go over. We have guests coming, all these things. God knew that. He knew that was going to happen. And he said to me, he said, well, that's why there are two of you. And he said it before I had a chance to beat myself up to start thinking about it, because he knew where I was going, you know. And so did my wife, and that's why she was praying that I would hear him, because she knows me. So I would be there. I wouldn't stay in. Doctor said, I need you to stay in bed. I told him I can't do that. He said, well, the next choice is IV antibiotics. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I said, I didn't say I wouldn't rest. I can't stay in the bed all day. I can't. I've tried. When I see sunlight, I got to get up. I'll get up, go downstairs, lie on the couch and fall asleep. But I'm not in bed. So I told him, I said, I'll rest. You know, and we negotiated a time frame. And I stuck to it. But through it all, I saw myself doing what I've been called to do. And I knew it's just a matter of time before I'm back where I belong. And I see, you have to stop beating yourself up, because you may have been a contributor in some way to what you're going through. The bottom line is, everybody's going to make a poor choice about something sooner or later, period. Get over it. Don't stay there and live in that choice. Just repent, Father, this was the dumbest choice I could have ever made. I repent. And move on. But don't stay there, because if you stay there, you'll become like frozen in time. And you'll never get out of it. You'll always beat yourself up, and that will become your excuse for not achieving what God wants you to achieve for the rest of your life. And God doesn't want that for his children. He doesn't want it for his children. So even if you missed it, run to 1 John 1:9 and mean it when you confess it. Well, how do you demonstrate you mean it? You don't do it anymore. That's all. You don't do it anymore. And you still win. Listen to this. This is what happened. We need to understand. We need to understand this. I'm convinced this is what happened with me. Matthew 13. I've been all around it, but now we're going right there. Starting with verse 18, Classic Amplified. So listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside. But now listen to this. As for what was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, inconstant, lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on the account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey. And he falls away. Listen to this in the easy to read version. It'll make more sense to you. And what about the seed that fell on rocky ground? That is like the people who hear the teaching and quickly and gladly accept it, but they do not let the teaching go deep into their lives. See, we will hear the teaching and it sounds great and we believe it, but we don't put it into practice. And by not putting into practice, by not, you know, doing it day and night, it doesn't penetrate deep into our spirits. It stays superficial. Here's the danger. But they do not let the teaching go deep into their lives. They keep it only a short time. As soon as trouble or persecution comes because of the teaching they accepted, they give up. See, the persecution is going to come because you accepted the gospel. And so it's coming to find out if you really meant it. And it's trying to pry the gospel right out from you. And if you haven't put it into use where you know it works, you will get discouraged and you will give up. It can't, see, I used to think that it could just, it'll just come, just grab it and snatch it right out. He's not that strong. But what he can do is cause you to think that the word is not that strong in you, and you abandon it. You abandon it. Why? Because of a symptom or circumstance? Because you feel it shouldn't be happening to you? Who said that? If you read the scripture, it'll say just the opposite. It'll tell you these things are going to come. So whenever we hear the word, and we're going to accept the word as being truth, we're going to have to immediately put it to work in our lives. We're going to have to make a concerted effort to make sure that word penetrates deep into our being. And we become what the word is. And then when that word is challenged by a circumstance, it jumps in the circumstance's face. And lets it know, this is who you about to deal with, and I don't think you want to. I saw part of one of my favorite movies last night called The Bear. And they had this little bear, and this cougar was thought he had an easy lunch. And first the bear was like running and whining, and the cougar kept swiping it, and then the bear just acted like a bear. Little cub just started growling, tried to ride him, just started growling, and the cougar looked at him, and then just backed up and turned and ran. Then the camera panned back and behind the cub with this huge grizzly bear. I was like, yeah, Lord, that's it. The minute we act like we believe what the word says, the enemy no longer sees you. Sees the word backing you up. And it does the same thing that cougar did. It turns tail and runs. Listen to what it said in Isaiah 43. Familiar passage. First two verses. Amplified Bible. But now, in spite of past judgments for Israel's sins, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed you, ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captives. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you, listen to this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. See, we need to know and believe that. It doesn't matter what comes to try and overwhelm. It doesn't matter what comes to try and burn or scorch. God said, ain't happening. He said, he is with you. And I told you I'd get to 1 Peter. That's where I am, 1 Peter 1. Verses 5 to 7. Message Bible. Says, what a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have him. This Father of our Master Jesus, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. Who's keeping careful watch? All right. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though, listen to this, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. God sees you already telling you, I already know you're going to have to deal with all this stuff. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. See, when you go into the fire in faith, your faith is proved. It doesn't get proved by avoiding the fire. It gets proved going through the fire. Your faith is proved to be genuine when it's tested. It can't be proved genuine if it never goes through a test. I mean, I don't know about you. I want to find out just how tough my faith is. Can't get, well, I don't want to know. You better know. You better know. See, displaying faith in the fire proves your faith is genuine. Period. Think about this. Acts 16. This is who was it? Paul and Silas. It came to pass as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which lets you know that Paul and Silas didn't have any ego issues. Because they won't go, yes, we are, amen. Just lay your money right down here. You know, 2 dinars, I'll give you a prophecy. You know, say, this was good, late night TV. No, let me behave. Okay. Okay. It says, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. I love they say caught them like they were running away. You know. They caught Paul and Silas and took them into the marketplace, into the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, but it didn't wake up anybody else in town. I find that amazing. And the keeper of, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do not do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And but listen to this. It says, "And they spoke to him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." So that means the jailer took them out of prison and took them home where they had a prayer meeting. And you're saying, "Well, what's so incredible about this?" These men still had open wounds on their body. I didn't notice that until I was reading it this afternoon. And it says in verse 33, "He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes." I said, "Wait a minute. This was after they administered to the people and gotten them saved that God, okay, now take care of their wounds." They weren't complaining about it. The first thing, when their bands fell off, they didn't say, "We out of here." You know. No, they stayed put because they were more concerned about the jailer's life than their own freedom. See, like Jesus, they came to put the things right again. They knew their mission. Do we know ours? They didn't let some adversity cause them to abandon their mission. Even though they had open wounds from being whipped, they never once said, can you help a brother out and do something about this? You know, "Yeah, we'll take care of your family, but I'm uncomfortable." No, they didn't think about themselves. They thought about their purpose. They thought about the glory that God was going to get. So they did what they were supposed to do, even though they were in a fire. And after they accomplished all of that, they still didn't leave. And when the folks that put them in prison came back and said, "You know, you can let them go," they said, "Nope." They did this publicly. They're going to publicly say, "We're free." And they went back to prison. Yeah, think about that. They left the jailer's house, went back to prison to wait for the folks to come and say, "Okay, you guys can go home. We should have never brought you in here in the first place." You talk about having faith in the fire. How many of you believe the minute the bands came off, you'd have stayed there to minister to the people? No, the chuckling says, "No, we'd have been out of there." We've been screaming, "Thank you, Jesus. We're free." Right? No, but it was proven who they were by how they responded to the fire. It will be proven who we are, folks, by how we respond to the fire. But first, we have to understand fire's coming. And the fact that it's coming doesn't matter. All that matters is, what are you going to do when it's standing face to face with you? What are you going to do when you're going to feel its heat? You're going to feel it. You're going to feel the discomfort. You're going to feel the aggravation. What are you going to do? Are you going to start throwing stones at it? Like the writer said, you'll never get to your destination if you stop to throw stones at every dog that barks. You know. Are you going to complain that it's a hard thing, or are you going to turn it into God's glory? Or are you going to become afraid because you're going to keep looking at that and not what God told you to do? We all know the story with Peter in the water. He took his eyes off Jesus, and all of a sudden, he decided, even, never mind you, he's walking on water. And he starts looking at the water and not Jesus. And now he decides, I can't walk on water. He's walking on water. But he let his circumstance convince him that he couldn't do something that he was doing. Well, the enemy still uses that tactic. Most of us are doing things that God has told us to do. But we allow a circumstance to come along to suggest to us that we can't do it. And we take our eyes off our assignment and put our eyes on the circumstance and get in agreement with it and say, I can't do this. Didn't let the word penetrate deep into your fiber. You let it stay superficial for whatever reason. And we need to understand it, and we need to correct it, because we want our faith to be proved genuine. And the only way that's going to happen is going through the fire. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Father, all glory, honor, and praise is to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us some more truth. This is adding to our armory, if you will. Show us, Father, how to take this word and allow it to get down into our fiber, the fiber of our being, because we don't want to continue looking at circumstances. We don't want to flinch because of the fire. We want to stand tall, stay strong, and stay on task, and allow the fire to prove that your word in us is true, so that we'll be seen as the genuine article and not a counterfeit. In Jesus' name, we come against any force of evil that would try and cause any of these saints to deny who they are in Christ, or the question, even for a moment, that when they go through the fire, they will not be scorched. We thank you, Lord, by your Holy Ghost, that you will bring this message to everyone's remembrance. And their response will be the same. They'll go, no, devil, no, I'm going through this fire, and I'm not going through it alone. My Father's going with me. No, I will not be overwhelmed. I will not, because I have the real deal, the genuine faith, the Word of God, and it's down deep in me. We thank you, Lord, for all we're going to accomplish from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you understand, folks? Things are going to happen. And our attitude needs to be, so what? It happened. But this is what my father did about it. And you keep on. You keep on. Don't we should be the happiest people on the planet. Really. We should. I should have brought that book in. What was that? I read testicle. This guy was, said he was born. He wasn't, didn't laugh, wasn't happy. didn't live, didn't do anything. And then he died. And the insurance company wouldn't honor the claim. Because they said since he never lived, he was never alive. No, we wouldn't do things that show that we are alive. Not only that we are alive, but the Word is alive in us. Amen? Hallelujah.